This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
I'm so excited to be with you all today. I believe that the word that God has instructed me to speak on is going to bring so much healing, even in things that we did not realize. You know, recently, how many of us know that words are powerful, first of all? Right? And we say this, we often say it, yet our words can be very careless and idle. And recently, something happened to me that really revealed to me just how weighty our words are. And when that revelation hit me, the Lord now instructed me that this is the message I'm going to teach on. And so I really had to spend some time with the Lord to unpack it more, because when there is understanding, you are empowered, right? If I just told you something and you don't understand it and you don't know how to apply it to your life, the enemy can still keep you in that trap. But when you have understanding, your faith is strengthened to walk the walk that God has called you to live out. And so recently, I recognized just how strong our words are. You see, in my life, there are very few things that happen to me that surprise me. And I say that because God often would reveal to me things before it happens, to the point that when it does, you know, if something happens and it shocks me, I start to question my life. You know, I start to consider my ways. I say, God, have I fallen? I say, where are we, God? You know, what's going on? Where is our relationship at? And I say this because a couple years ago, you know, when you're, you know, during my single phase, praise the Lord, during that time in my life, right? And it's a beautiful time. I was living my best life. But during that time, I remember when the Lord would tell me, don't try to rush this season. Don't rush it out. There's an appointed time for marriage. There's an appointed time for kids. He just laid it all out to me. This is a season of your life. Enjoy it. Don't miss it. You see, many times we're so anxious about the next season that we miss out on the work of God in the season that we're in. And so he began to reveal to me certain timelines, right? And then he began to speak to me about children and all these things. And when he spoke to me about kids, in particular, he revealed to me, I've always desired twins, right? And he revealed to me that there will be a time that you will have twins. And in the beginning, I desired twins for the wrong reason, so I could match with my kids. I believe matching is the sixth love language. And that is my love language. I love to match. To the point that this story is irrelevant to this message, but I'll share something that happened. A couple years ago, Valentine's Day, me and one of my best friends, we were going to the nail shop, and she calls me. She has on this Adidas jogger, and I had the same one in a different color. So we're on FaceTime. I was wearing something else. I got off FaceTime, changed my outfit. I met her at the nail shop. She was so mad. She's like, Stephanie, like, people are going to think we're together. I said, girl, I am confident in myself. But matching is a love language, right? So I always wanted twins so that it could be like, you know, the three amigas. And then hopefully my husband would want to match too. But it was very immature, even though that is still one of the reasons. But I have more mature reasons now, right? But basically, you know, he reveals to me that this desire that you've had since you were a kid. How many of us know that God actually plants desires in your heart? You call it random. You see, even in culture, we have this saying about manifesting. I'm going to manifest my life. But you don't realize that it's not that you're manifesting, but you have come into the knowledge. God has shared a knowledge with you about who you are. And there is so much confidence and boldness that you begin to decree and declare, like, no, this is for me. But we, in culture, we remove Jesus from the equation. And we say you can manifest whatever destiny you want, not recognizing the only reason you have that desire is that the Lord has shared a knowledge about you in your heart, right? And so God puts desires in our hearts, and he shows me, like, Stephanie, you're gonna have twins. And I saw them, a boy and a girl. And then he tells me, pray and speak life over your son that he does not die. I said, what in the world? I said, Lord, if there's going to be a future complication, you could handle it now. You know, you are outside of time, right? You can go in time. And I was so confused that, no, really, I actually got irritated by that. I was like, what kind of message is this? You know, so I just kept living my life. When I met my fiance, a couple months into us dating and knowing that this is going to be serious and all that stuff, he calls me one morning and he says, you know, I was in prayer and the Lord said I should tell you. First of all, I said, this is going to be a us thing, you know. He said, the Lord said I should tell you to speak life and pray that we don't lose our son. Now, I've never told him anything. And I'm like, why is this same thing coming up, you know? And I was just like, yeah, sure. I didn't even say anything after that. And I was irritated again. I'm like, God, if there's a problem, you could fix it, right? Months passed by. One particular day, I go into this panic, thinking about, you know, sometimes there's an anxiety that comes upon you. You see, there are different forms of anxiety. There's anxiety that comes out of you, and there is one that comes upon you. And what I mean by that is the difference between anxiety that is natural and that which is spiritual. When the enemy wants to force a narrative on you and begins to taunt you about this idea, and the only moment it takes seed is when you begin to agree with it. And this thought came upon me, oh, you're going to have two of everything. You're going to need a feed two, push out two. All these thoughts, and for women, pushing out too, like that. There are many things I want to say about that, that I think you will catch my drift. And all of a sudden, I began to panic. And I'm like, God, I literally said this. I said, God, I don't know if I want that anymore. That night, I fell asleep. In my dream, I was on an ultrasound table. And as I'm on the table, something, you know how dreams are so interesting because things are happening that others are not seeing, but you know exactly what's happening. So something comes and pulls out a baby out of me. And they do the ultrasound, and they heard only one heartbeat. And I knew that what that person did took one child out. And I was like, Lord, wait, what just happened? Like, what's going on? Where's the second one? Where's the second one? And a voice said, but you don't want him. And I was like, no, Lord, no. I want him. Give him back. And then the scene changes. Now there's another ultrasound, and they hear two heartbeats. And immediately I wake up. When I woke up, I began to pray. I said, God, what just happened? And he says, Stephanie, you have to recognize that with your words, you can reveal my purpose or you can alter them. When you said you don't want him, you created a gateway for the enemy to steal from you. So a few weeks ago, I'm sharing this message. We were taping a show, and I'm sharing this message. And a dear friend of mine, her name is Pastor Alex. She has a church in Nashville. And she and the both of us is like, when God created us, he had us in mind. Because we just have very similar experiences. And she says, Stephanie, I actually went through something very similar. That for the first 5 years of my marriage, I was completely barren. Couldn't understand what was going on. One particular day, an intercessor pulls her aside and said, there is a word you came in agreement with that cursed your womb. And she said, what are you referring to? What could this be about? She said, close your eyes and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you when that word was uttered. She closes her eyes, and immediately the Holy Spirit gives her a vision. When she was 17 years old, at home, on the dining table, and she had brothers with her. Her brothers had children outside of marriage, so all of them were living in the home. And so she never really had a time to herself. Any moment that she wanted to do something, there's a child crying or screaming. And so one day she's working on something, the kids are screaming everywhere, and she says, I never want to have kids. They are annoying. I never want to give birth to these things. And right there, the Lord revealed to her, your word raised an altar against your womb. Your word is still speaking against the very thing that you desire. You have to repent of it. Immediately, she comes out of the vision and she starts to pray. And what I love about the Lord is that when he shines light on something, you don't have to go through some ritual process or anything like that. You have to denounce what was said. You see, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, that very scripture that talks about, you know, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. But it also says, and every tongue that rises up against you, you shall condemn. And sometimes your tongue rises up against you. And so when it says that you shall condemn, it says you shall cast it down. You shall denounce it. And so it was very simple. She acknowledged where she went wrong. And she said, Lord, I repent of those words. I cast it down. And Lord Jesus, I want the children assigned to me. That year she got pregnant. You see, my assignment today, the Lord showed me that for many of us, we have spoken idle and careless words out of anger, anxiety, frustration, and not recognizing that just because the word might be idle does not mean it does not have power. You see, there's a scripture I want us to read. We're going to read a couple of scriptures because I really want this to hit home for you. We're going to start with, let's see here. We're going to start with Matthew 12:26. And the scripture says this, I tell you, on the day of judgment, and this is Jesus speaking, people will give account for every careless word they speak. Why is it that Jesus is saying that we would give account? Because there are some things that we're going to be asking the Lord, but why didn't this happen? Lord, according to your promise, this was supposed to happen for me. And he would reveal to you the books where you were working against it the whole time. Have you given account of what you said during this time in your life? You see, now to some, you might listen to this and you're like, but Lord, I mean, if I said something crazy, like I was a kid or I didn't know what I was doing. This is why living in submission to God has nothing to do with him. It has everything to do with you. Because when you live in submission to the Lord, the Holy Spirit can begin to convict you and remind you that there is something in your life you need to repent of. There is something in your life you need to watch how you talk. You see, one of the biggest signs of spiritual maturity is your language. That how you speak about yourself and how you speak about others actually reveals how mature you are in the spirit. But we find maturity through submission. We can't just say whatever just because we got angry. Now you begin to curse the very thing you're supposed to bless, right? There's a scripture in Proverbs 18:21. It says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You see, today, before the end of the service, we're going to have a moment, and I've been praying for you, and I believe that the Holy Spirit will begin to reveal to you any idle and careless words that you have spoken over your life. And that any idle and careless words that other people have spoken over your life, that you will be free of them. You see, because when we think about how words affect us, we have to first consider why they affect us. When we look at the beginning, right, the Word of God shows us that everything, you know, was created through God speaking. But then in John 1:1-3, it gives us this beautiful understanding when it talks about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word is so powerful that it has a personality. It has nature. It's a person. It's Jesus. So that everything which was made was created because of him. Now, everything God does, one of the things I'm always intrigued by the works of God. Because if God creates through speaking, it's not random, right? Because he's God, he's sovereign. He could have blinked twice and everything would have come into existence. He could have thought about it and everything will come into existence. But how God creates is consistent with his identity. Everything God does, what he touches, what he says, it's revealing something about his nature. It's not just like a random thing that he's doing. Even when you look at when the Bible says that God created man in his own image and he made them male and female, and he's talking about in his image, but male and female is not just about colors or activity or career choices or any of that. Male and female, it's an office in God. Because there's something a man represents that reveals in God that a woman doesn't. And there's something that the woman represents and reveals about God that the man doesn't. So when he says, when they come together, it reveals his image. Everything about God is intentional. But we try to dumb it down to fit our ideas and ideology. So when God creates through speaking, he created through speaking because he is the Word. It reveals his identity. And the beauty of that is that if the Word created everything, then everything responds to words. And so for God to reveal, he spoke. And now when you look at this, how does this speak to your life? You look at Jesus, right? Creation responded to him. Jesus would speak to a tree. Jesus would curse a tree and actually said, and the tree responded. The tree obeyed his command. So when they came back to the fig tree, the tree was cursed. Jesus would speak to the winds and say, be still, and they would obey his command. But the beauty about Jesus is that when Jesus came on the earth, the Bible talks about how he came that the world may be saved, right? That the world may be saved because of him. He didn't come to condemn the world, but he came to redeem the world. So Jesus, for him, the world, he was stewarding the whole world. So everything in the world was under his authority because he had an assignment to it. Whatever you have an assignment to, you have authority over. And whatever you have authority over, your words can shape it. That how you speak to the things that God has put under your care can either reveal the plans of God or it can alter it. Jesus could speak to creation and they would obey him because he was a steward over everything in creation. There was a man named Joshua in the Bible, in the Old Testament. The Bible talks about how Joshua told the sun to stand still, and he did. But why is it that the sun obeyed Joshua? Because the sun was within a territory that God had given him stewardship over. The Israelites were in battle, and they needed to finish the assignment. Joshua said, I understand the assignment, Lord, okay? And in order for us to finish the assignment, the sun needs to stand still. And it's the first and only time in the Bible when it tells us that God obeyed the command of a man. But why is that? Because it was within Joshua's territory. You see, words have authority. So much so that there was a man named John the Baptist, right? When John the Baptist was born, I need to even go to this scripture. His father, named Zacharias, the angel of the Lord comes to Zacharias and he tells him, you know what, you're going to have a son. Zacharias starts, you know, having some doubts and questions. And look at what he says, right? So he says, and Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words. Why did the angel need to go so extreme? Because of how important John the Baptist was to the purpose of God. You see, John the Baptist had such a pivotal role to play in the coming of Jesus. Because when Jesus's mother, you know, the mother on earth, not like, you know, mother, but Mary, you know, the one who carried him, right? In order for her to even believe, for strength to come into her, that such an abnormal thing could happen, that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will conceive a child, she had to have an encounter with John the Baptist's mother. That when she realized that, wait, you are way past, this is a miracle, first of all. You are pregnant with a child at this old age. It gave her the strength for her own miracle. John the Baptist would also be the one to baptize Jesus. He was too critical to the plan. So the angel recognized, I cannot let the words of Zacharias alter the destiny of this child. Because you see, as a father, he had authority over certain things concerning the child. That is why even as parents, you have to be careful about what you say about your kids. Because sometimes the only reason that that child is a problem is because you have used your words to shape them as a problem. I was reading I was actually not even reading. I was watching this video. And there were two people. There was an inmate and a professional baseball player. And in the video, it said that the inmate asked the baseball player, "How did you get to where you are today?" And he was like, "You know what? It started when I was a kid. I would play, I would throw the ball, and my father would tell me, 'Man, you keep throwing like that, you're going to end up playing for the league.'" And he said, "Now I ended up playing professional baseball." And the inmate responded and said, "You know what? We're actually alike. When I was a kid, my father told me that you're no good and you're going to end up in jail. And he said, here I am." You have to be careful about the words that you speak. When you see a child acting out, when you see someone within what God has made you a steward over, you don't just curse the child. You don't just say negative things, because what you don't realize that you're doing is that now you are a vessel for the enemy to begin to plant destructive seeds over that child. You have to speak life over them. Unknown to me, just carelessly saying, "God, I don't want this anymore." Spiritually, something took place that I had to repent of my words. You see, for some of us in this room, you also have to repent over the things that you have said to people in your care, right? And so when we think about this, one of the things I want you to write down is that words have authority over the things God has entrusted you to steward. You see, in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, verse 4, it says something I love. It says, "Where the word of a king is, there is power." Now, when you think about this, you will think maybe he's just talking about earthly kings. But you are actually one that God calls kings and priests, right? In Revelation 1:6, you can write that scripture down as well. And it says, "And he has made us," who has made us? God. "He has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever." Because every single person in this room, every single person that will hear this word, you have dominion. There is something that God has entrusted to your care. There is something that God has placed you and he has given you territory over. You have dominion. But how is our kingship revealed? That's what I love when the Bible says that he has made us kings and priests. Because your priesthood is the place of submission. Your priesthood is the place when you are praying. Your priesthood is the place where you are living by the things that the Lord says. You see, earlier we were worshiping to "Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand." Now, the scripture that song is inspired from is when Jesus talks about a wise man. And he says, "The one who hears my sayings, who hears my words and does them, is likened to a wise man who built his house on the rock." The one who hears my words and he agrees with them. He's in partnership with them. He lives out my ways and my principles. He is like the one who has built his house on a rock. Then Jesus says, "But the one that is foolish and the one that sees destruction is the one who has heard my sayings and rejects them." Now, what is interesting about that scripture is that both houses look exactly the same. Nothing about the houses are different. They didn't say one has a mansion, one is a hut. The houses look exactly the same, but the foundation, because to truly be a disciple of Christ is not just to sing songs. It's not just to say, "I'm a Christian." It's not just to say, "I'm spiritual." It is that you are abiding by his word. Now, why am I saying that? Because when we live in that posture of submission and surrender, then we become careful about the things that we say. "Lord, is this thing that I'm about to speak, would it glorify you? Or is it against your nature? What I'm about to use my word, what I'm about to use my mouth and utter, is this going to bring glory to your name?" It's not to say that we have to live in this idea of being a perfectionist, but it's to say that, "Lord, I am surrendered to you." Because in the kingdom of heaven, we actually embrace our kingship through submission. In the kingdom of darkness, they have power through rebellion. That is why the Bible would say rebellion is like witchcraft. That it's not just, witchcraft is not what we see, you know, just on television with people flying on trees. I've never seen that, you know, Sabrina. But but the Lord actually says that rebellion is like witchcraft. And why does he say that? He's not trying to call nobody a witch. He's trying to say that through rebellion, Satan has access. Because that's all witchcraft is about. Witchcraft is any action or performance that gives the enemy access to fulfill his plans through your life. So when the Lord says rebellion is as witchcraft, he's like, when there is no submission, you're giving the enemy permission. And I'm saying this because we have to really take a deep dive and consider our ways before God. Consider, how do we live? What is about my life that's walking in step with the ways of God? The sad thing about life is that we sometimes think that if I'm not doing something that reflects Christ, then I'm being condemned and being shamed. Absolutely not. The Bible talks about how Jesus was full of grace and truth. And why does he say that? Because Jesus would not tell you a truth that he cannot empower you to fulfill. Jesus would not reveal something about you that he does not have the ability to empower you to walk in it. But you have to first come in agreement that this is truth. This is the way that the Lord has for me. And so how is it that words can actually impact our lives? And here is the very key thing that the Lord began to teach me. Because words are gateways. Words are openings. One of the earlier scriptures we read in the book of Proverbs, when I shared with you how that life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. Through your words, you are opening up where a seed can be planted. Now, either that seed would reveal the purpose of God, or that seed reveals the purpose of the enemy. You see, there is a scripture that really convicted me when I read it the first time. And every time I see it after then, it's in Matthew 13, verse 24 to 25. And this is Jesus speaking. And he said, he put another parable before them saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. Now, this is so key because when you have wheat and weeds in the same field, the weeds compete for the soil, the nutrients, and the water that is supposed to go to the wheat, the good thing. And because of the presence of weeds, it kind of damages your harvest or reduces the potential of your harvest. Now, why would God say the kingdom of heaven is like this? Like a man who sowed good seed. Now, in the context of words, how many times have we found ourselves, I've been guilty of this too. We find ourselves in prayer, sowing good seed. We're just declaring, God, I just, you know, praying over that project, praying over that business, praying over the relationship, declaring so many beautiful things before God. And right when you say, in Jesus' name, amen, you go to, but this will never happen for me. It's like, bruh, what is the point of the prayer? It's like you come out of prayer, you go on Instagram, and that comparison thing just kicks in. Like, but God, you're doing this for everybody, but this will never happen for me. You just prayed at thanking God. Oh, Lord, I thank you for the this. I thank you for the that. And right after, you use the same words to sow weeds where you just planted wheat. Because when the Bible says that while men were sleeping, it really points to ignorance. Sleeping is not like, you know, they were taking a nap. No, I mean, the kingdom is not about, you know, God is not judging you for rest, right? He's saying that while men were ignorant of the devices of the enemy, while men were ignorant of their power, of their authority, this is when the enemy had access to plant weeds. To plant bad seeds. So you don't recognize that you are the one that is against your own prayers. That you are working against yourself before God. You see, like I said today, I want us to take a moment and really come before God and repent. When I was praying for you all, one of the things that was so consistent, it was literally like prison doors being opened that I kept seeing in a vision. And sometimes we don't know where we have trapped ourselves because of the words that we have spoken. I want you to recognize that everything that God has made you a steward over, you have authority over. They respond to your words because they respond to the authority that you have been given by the Lord. When God gave you that project, that business, that friend, that whatever, spouse, that child, whatever it is, even yourself, because you are also a steward over yourself. We don't own ourselves. We are only stewards over our body. We are only stewards over our mind, our life, our health. Everything that God has put in your hand, those ideas that God has given you. You know, the other time I was with you all, I talked about how when you even have your creativity is the wealth of God being shared with you. Every single thing, don't curse your gift simply because you were frustrated, because it didn't work out. You know, it didn't amount to what you thought it would do. You did that movie and you know what? It didn't really hit like that. And you start speaking against your talent, the talent that God gave you. You start speaking against the very things that you know you were supposed to do. How many of us have actually even said, you know, I'm going to quit this industry. I'm going to quit. Why? Because you were disappointed? But what if that disappointment was actually a lesson and not an end to a chapter? That there is something God is actually trying to teach you or trying to get out of you. And so, family, I want you to stand with me. Everyone stand with me, please. And once more, I just want you to close your eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want you to close your eyes, and we're going to do several things. First, I'm going to pray that if there is any careless word that you have spoken against your own life, against the very things that God has spoken, against the promises of God over your life, we're going to pray together, and we're going to repent of that. We're going to cast it down. That just like the word says, every tongue. Do you catch that? Every tongue that rises up against you, you shall condemn. Every tongue. It's so interesting to me that when the Lord is saying no weapons formed against you shall prosper, he follows it up with words. And every tongue that rises up against you, you shall condemn. You see, for many, the only thing standing in between you and the very promises of God is how you speak. David talked about how he asked the Lord to be a guard over his mouth. Why would he say that? Because David, in relationship, David was known as a friend of God. When he asked the Lord to guard his mouth, he's like, Lord, I don't want to use I don't want to use this weapon against my own life. And so, Holy Spirit, every eye closed, please. Holy Spirit, you are sovereign. You have seen it all. And you have a count of anything we may have said carelessly. Lord, I pray if there's any words that we have ever uttered against our lives, against the promises that you have for us, that you would reveal unto us right now. Thank you, Jesus. And Heavenly Father, I pray, if there were words that we received from others who we were in their care, and without our knowing, those words shaped our lives, made us feel unworthy, made us feel that we can never amount to anything. We didn't realize, we thought that it was just a word said out of anger, but all of a sudden it's shaping our very life. We start living like we are rejected and abandoned and confused and wondering if any good can ever come out of us. Lord, I thank you that even as you're bringing it to attention, because whenever there is revelation, Lord God, you have given us the power to redeem. You have given us authority, O God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I denounce every idle word that I have spoken or was spoken over me. Your word will have the final say over my life. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, family, if you believe that, I want you to just shout to God. If you feel like something's literally just broke off you, I want you to release a shout unto God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Family, we're going to make a commitment to ourselves that, God, I'm not going to be careless with my speech. And I will tell you this right now, the enemy will tempt you on this very day. He might tempt you through on the road. You might be minding your business, just driving to get some coffee or something, and then somebody wants to just cut you. Before you're quick to want to express to them your gratitude for cutting you off, think about the power of your words. Think about the power of your words. I want to challenge you to do something. The same way the Holy Spirit is challenging me. For the next 30 days, begin to decree and declare life over every promise that God has given you. Thank you, Jesus. That when you get home, maybe when you get in your car, take some time. Pull out your phone or pull out a notepad, whatever it is. Write down every promise, every desire that God has placed within you. And for 30 days, day one, it doesn't matter if you spend 5 minutes doing this. Because here's the thing. If you spend an hour in prayer, just to follow it up with 1 minute of cursing the very thing you are praying for, it doesn't count, really. So what I want you to do, I don't want you to think about the time. If you're going to spend an hour in prayer, that's beautiful. I encourage it. Jesus would even say to the disciples, couldn't you watch with me for an hour? Whatever it is for you, that's beautiful. But I want you to do this because everyone has at least 5 minutes in their day. Every promise that God has given you, that each morning you would wake up and begin to speak life over it. Speak, whether you feel it or not, declare life over it. There is a reason why when the Lord said, let the weak say, I am strong. Here is the thing. We have abused that that scripture to make it feel like the Lord is not for mental health. That's not it. First of all, he's saying, acknowledge you are the weak. He's speaking to people that know they are the weak. But when he says, let the weak say, it's about declaration. It's about agreement that, you know what, Lord, I'm weak right now, but it would not end in weakness. My story would not end in weakness. Whatever has me right now, it would not always be the case. So he says this, although that may be your reality, use the power of words. Come in agreement with a different reality. It's not a being delusional. No, that is not the ways of God. He doesn't want you out here talking about how you're doing, blessed, saved, sanctified, delivered, fully, you know, full of the Holy Ghost, and then you depressed. No. But what the Lord is saying is come in agreement with truth. It's not going to end here. I may be in the wilderness right now, but I'm not going to end in the wilderness. God, you gave me this idea. You gave me this project to create. There is no funds for it. But this is not always going to be the story. I'm going to begin to declare life over the things that God has spoken concerning my life. That everything that God has made me a steward over, I'm going to declare life. You see, we have to be careful to not adopt the ways of culture into the kingdom. Because in culture, everyone's opinion matters. How I feel is the reality. But then what you don't realize is that you're altering your actual reality in God. Just because you're frustrated doesn't mean you need to curse something out. Just because you're mad doesn't mean you need to curse the very thing that you desire. Begin to speak the word of God. Just like we are singing, Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. To be a disciple, to stand on Christ, is to stand on his word. And so, family, I'm excited for you, man. I'm going to be keeping track. Just the same way I'm doing this in my life, too. Because the ways of God require discipline. There's a discipline required for us to really step in. Sometimes you have to practice being you. You really haven't, sometimes we're living the counterfeit version of us for such a long time that we have to practice what it means to be who we are and who God called you to be. So I'm excited. I'm so excited, man. You know what? If anyone is in this house and maybe you have not given your life to Jesus, maybe you stepped in here and you were just wondering what's going on. What's all these good looking people stepping into that building for? I'ma just join them. I remember I met a gentleman in the church and I was like, hey man, how did you find out about the church? He was like, there's a lot of good looking people that were walking in here. It don't matter, you know, praise the Lord. You know, beauty attracts. But however you got into this building, whoever invited you, or maybe you've been dabbling into so many things because the idea of submission makes you feel like you're going to lose control of your freedom. But I kid you not, true freedom is found in God. Many of us, we've enjoyed the turn up life. We've done it with the best, right? But then you realize, ain't nothing there. Actually, I was in bondage when I was doing that. I remember there was a friend of mine that came to church one time and she sends me a message and she was like, hey girl, do you remember me? We used to be at Playhouse. I said, oh, praise the Lord. You know, we have left Playhouse to the house of the Lord. But what I'm saying, family, is that however you came in here and you want to commit your life to God, you want to say, Lord, I want to experience this true freedom. I want to know you. Like, for real, I want to know you. Or maybe you want to recommit your life to God. Because perhaps you are like, yeah, I'm a Christian because, you know, my parents were Christian, so I grew up in a Christian household. But you've never truly been intentional about your walk. Now, if that is you, we want to celebrate you, and we want to pray for you, and we want to welcome you into the family of the kingdom. So if it is you, I want you to boldly just lift up your hand wherever you are so we can see you. Can we celebrate what God is doing in this house? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We see you, family. We see you. We see you. Oh, family, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your sons and daughters that are committing their life to you. Whether they're committed or recommitting their life to you, Lord Jesus, you see them and you know them. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would make their heart your home. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that on the cross you died for our sins. And that when you resurrected, you rose up with all power and victory in your hands. That we would experience not just life, but life more abundantly. Heavenly Father, I thank you that in you they would experience true freedom. In you, they would experience truth, oh God. And in you, they would come into the fullness of who you have always known them to be. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Family, look at God. Look at God.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.